Hello and welcome to today's Tideway Annual Presentation. Throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. And just to remind you, this call is being recorded. So today I'm very pleased to pass you over to Mark Sneesby, COO. Mark, please begin.
Afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the call. So let me start with a bit of an overview, sort of 17-18 highlights. We continue and are very proud of the fact that our health, safety and wellbeing plan is working well. We've had no major injuries in the year, which is what we set out to do, or not do, if you like. In terms of progress, we remain on track to deliver both to time and to our regulatory baseline. And we are now pretty much fully mobilised. We've got 20 or 21 sites all live. The final one I'll come to later, but we're not due to do that for a year or two. You may well have seen in the press recently, we've now got 3 tunnel boring machines on site. 2 of them at Curling Street have been lowered down into their starting positions and we're getting ready to start tunnelling. We've continued with our more by river approach, so we've avoided 20,000 heavy goods vehicles on the roads, which for vulnerable users is a big issue for London and something we're very proud of. We have been recognised as one of the 50 places striving for gender equality, something we've worked very hard about and set ourselves a target for 50% by the end of the project, and we will continue with that. Our regulatory capital value is now just over £1 billion in outturn, and as you can see, and I'm sure you're aware, we've secured enough long-term financing to take us beyond system acceptance. And subsequent to the cut-off date for this report, we've actually raised another £325 million in green bonds. And obviously, as you will hear us say a lot, we are the largest sterling issuer of green bonds, and will continue to be so, I think, for a while. Okay, just taking that in a little bit more detail. As I said, from a health, safety and wellbeing point of view, we had no major injuries recorded during the year. However, we have had incidents. We had 4 lost time accidents, including 1 AFR 7, so that's an accident that takes somebody off work for more than 7 days. Whilst our performance is good, that always shows we can do better, and we will continue to strive for that. We have taken over various surveys and elected to go for this Vitality's Britain's Healthiest Workplace in 2017. And as you can see, got ourselves to 2nd place, which wasn't bad for a first-time entry, I think. And we continue with our EPIC, our induction process, currently having put 12,000 people through that. You can't get onto one of our sites and work in our offices until you've been through it. And obviously with the churn in labour forces and subcontracts, we have to keep refreshing that all the time as new people come on board. From a legacy point of view, we continue to be on track with our legacy plan. We got to 79% of our commitments are live, which was against a target of 75, so we're pleased about that. We've continued to work in the local community and also with our local charities, raising a considerable amount of money throughout the year. Which not only is a good thing to do, it's a good thing for well-being, and you know, our people really appreciate it. We have launched this augmented reality tunneling application, which is a great way for people to learn about the project and really gathers interest in the project when from an educational point of view, and we do a lot of STEM work, so it's a great vehicle to do that and get people engaged in major infrastructure and engineering, etc. And we continue to in terms of our supply chain, you know, we have a broad reach, both at tier one but also tier two and three where we have biggest impact, local companies, etc. We've made some good progress. As I said before, we were the Times top 50 employers for women in 2018, and our chief exec was a finalist in the Gender Champion Award category, which I think just shows our commitment to diversity on Tideway. Our employee survey was good again this year, third time in a row, and we improved year on year. So both our engagement scores, as you can see, up at 64% and enablement at 71%. And we continue to look at ways to attract the best people into our organisation by using flexible working, really championing wellness, and it shows in our employee satisfaction. Okay. So in terms of the investment programme, we're now kind of 3 years in and have built a really solid foundation that we continue to deliver against. And as I said earlier, we're still in line with our regulatory cost of $3.5 billion at outturn and handover in Q1 2024. We're now mobilised on 20 to 21 sites with the TBM starting to arrive. And our more by river approach is paying real dividends, both from a taking HGVs off the road, but also I think as much from a sort of a realization in London that the river is underutilized, and we're leading the charge on changing that and making it more commercially viable. We have had to make changes at Blackfriars in the period because of our interaction with other utilities, and specifically two gas mains that we have the potential to disrupt. So we changed the way we addressed that with our contractor. And that is moving on very well now. We're making some good progress. Our designs are well progressed at 75% and consenting's at about 60%. So we're well down the track, and I think you can probably see us in London more and more every day. So just going back into detail a little bit, in West, we're mobilised on all of our seven sites, and Carnwath Road, which is our dry site where the tunnel boring machine will start, our acoustic shed's in place, and we are well on the way for excavating the shaft. And the TBM itself was delivered by river to Carnwath Road earlier in the year, and the second one is ready for delivery pretty much now. In Central, again, all sites are mobilised, and both of their TBMs have been successfully delivered, again by river. They were delivered to Kirtling Street, where we've completed the shaft excavation, constructed the launch tunnels, and actually lowered the launch the TBMs into place after the period end, and they're just waiting to start tunnelling later in the year. In East, we've mobilised on five of the six sites that we have. As I said before, Abbey Mills Pumping Station isn't due to mobilise into 2019, so we're on track for mobilisation. At Chambers Wharf, which is our drive site for East, we've completed the diaphragm walling that will be used for the shaft, and we'll start excavation. We have started excavation. First bit of that is letting the architects in to have a look, and then we can get on and dig the shaft. And the TBMs are currently in design and manufacture. They're not due on site for a bit yet, but they're well underway. I wasn't proposing to go through slides 7, 8 and 9 because it's kind of just more and more detail from what I've already told you. Unless we have any specific questions at the end, I'll skip over those and hand over to Adolfo.
Thank you, Mark. So now we go to slide 10, financing activity. During the 6 month period ended 31st March 2018, we raised a further $450 million of new term debt, and we continued to de-risk our financing plan, further increasing our liquidity position and locking in financing costs. Specifically, during the period, we entered into $70 million inflation-linked swaps to partly hedge the US private placement notes. You will remember that the $300 million USPP was priced in June and funded on September last year, 2017, and this transaction was reported in the previous investor report. In November, a $250 million green nominal public bond with a maturity date in 2027 was issued, And the day after, a 200 million green CPI-linked private placement bond with a maturity date in 2042 was issued. This transaction won an MTN I Deal of the Year award, as it was both an index-linked bond with an inflation floor and ceiling, as well as a green bond. As a result of these successes and in light of the improved liquidity position, an amount of 250 million was cancelled from our revolving credit facility in March 2018, and the RCF currently stands at 750 million and remains undrawn. At the end of the period, the balance of equity was 509.7 million and shareholder loans were 714.4 million, which includes the injection of 19.9 million in equity and 29.7 million drawdown of the shareholder loan, as well as 9.6 repayment of principal in the 6-month period. Probably worth mentioning that the funds committed by our shareholders at license award are now fully injected. Over the period, a restricted payment of 37.85 million was made, which included payment of interest and repayment of principal of the shareholder loan. As at 31st March 2018, we had total liquidity of 3 billion, comprising 900 million of cash, 750 of undrawn RCF, the 700 million EIB loan, 575 million of bonds, and 100 million loan. This, combined with expected revenue collection, provides liquidity significantly in excess of our 18-month target and including all debt requirements to system acceptance. As Mark mentioned earlier, post-year-end, we raised a total of 325 million through further issuance of green bonds, including another 150 million inflation-linked green bond issued in April, and three smaller green bond issuances totaling 175 million, also linked to inflation in May. As Mark mentioned, we are very proud to be the largest corporate sterling issuer of green bonds with a total of 775 million issued to date, as well as the largest UK CPI-linked corporate issuer with 350 million of CPI-linked debt raised. Finally, worth mentioning that also post-year-end, we drew the first of our deferred purchase bonds, the 100 million 0.688% index-linked bond maturing in 2050, and actually, last week, we received the funds related to the first tranche of the EIB loan. Moving on to the next slide, slide 11, historical financial performance. During the year, Taiwi reported a profit of 9.5 million compared to a loss of 34.2 million in 2016-17, with no dividends paid or proposed, just like last year. As stated in previous calls, we do not consider that the reported profit in the period reflects our business performance as it results from the movement in fair value in the group's financial instruments. For the year ended 31st March 2018, our allowable project spend is marginally lower than the allowable cost, as those include the timing of accruals and unwinding of prepayments of some items, most notably insurance contracts and the GSP. At the end of the period, costs of 1,154.9 million were capitalized within the asset under construction in the statement of financial position. This represents 609 million costs during the year, plus 545.9 million for the prior periods to 31st March 2017. The direct costs incurred in the year have increased significantly, circa 70% compared to 2016-17, reflecting the increased level of construction over the year that Mark alluded to earlier. Similarly, indirect costs have increased by circa 16% compared to last year, largely driven by the growth in resources required to support the increased level of construction. In terms of excluded costs, the excluded costs for the year ended March 2018 were 66.3 million, which included 61.5 million of interest payable, including shareholder loans, 7.1 million of costs, which mainly relate to financing, partly offset by 2.3 million interest receivable on the cash reserves that we held. The excluded cash outflows are significantly higher than the excluded costs, mainly due to the 23.8 million repayment of shareholder loans and 9.8 million timing of VAT payments, which are not included within excluded costs. Moving on to next slide, slide 12, cash flow and cash. The Holdco Group closed the year with 838.3 million in cash, or 895.8 if we include the short-term deposits, which represents an increase of 522.4 million from the closing balance for 2016-17. This increase was driven by cash inflows of 1,152 million and cash outflows of 629.9 million. The total cash inflow is largely driven by the financing activities, which include proceeds of 208.9 million of shareholder loans, 139.3 million from shareholder equity, and 822.1 million proceeds from the new borrowings that we mentioned earlier. Another positive inflow is the cash from operations of 40.8 million, which include 32.1 million of regulated revenue received from Thames Water and 7.4 million of other inflows, including interest and payment received for other services provided to Thames Water. Cash outflows include investment in the construction of the tunnel of 607.4 million, the partial repayment of 23.8 million of shareholder loans that I mentioned earlier, and the transfer of 57.5 million to short-term deposits. For the first time, the Holdco Group drew a number of facilities, and as of 31st March, the group held external borrowings of 823.7 million. During the year, net cash reduced by circa 300 million. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, the Holdco Group had the following undrawn debt facilities: 750 million revolving credit facility, 700 million loan with the EIB, and 675 deferred bonds and loans. Moving on to the next slide, slide 13. I mentioned earlier the fair value measurements and valuation. BTL has entered into long-term swaps with commercial banks to hedge the interest rate for tranches 1 to 8 of the 700 million loan with the EIB, which we secured in May 2016. And during the year 2017-18, we entered into 70 million inflation-linked swaps to partly hedge the USPP notes. The swaps fix the finance cost for BTL's regulatory period in a cost-effective manner, and they ensure that we benefit from low-cost financing. The movement in the fair value of these instruments is recognized in the income statement, because under IAS 23, these do not represent current borrowing costs incurred for financing the project, and so cannot be capitalized. During the year, there was a positive movement of 9.5 million in the fair market value of the index-linked swaps, which was primarily driven by lower RPI expectations implied by the real and nominal yield curves. And finally, tax. As we have mentioned in the past, we have made a disregard election to HMRC effective 1st of April 2016, which means that any gains or losses arising from the movement in the fair value of the financial instruments will be disregarded for current tax purposes. We did not recognize any taxable profits in the period, and therefore have no corporation tax charges, just like last year. Slide 14 provides a bit more detail on our liquidity position as of the end of the year. I probably would like to draw your attention to the change in format of the table compared to previous investor reports, where now we show separately the undrawn debt and the drawn debt. The rest is just more detail and expanding on some of the tranches and loans that I explained earlier. So moving on to the next slide, ratios. We confirm that in respect of the investor report dated 31st March 2018 and by reference to the most recent financial statements that we are obliged to deliver in accordance with the CTA, the senior RAR in respect of the relevant test period is equal to 0%, and as it is below the 5% threshold set out in the CTA, we are not required to report the FFOICR and average FFOICR. Probably worth mentioning that obviously that is the result of our current liquidity position. As I mentioned earlier, our net debt position has increased throughout the year, and over the next year, 18 or the current year, 18-19, you will see the company entering into a positive net debt position, and therefore we expect to start reporting the FFO-ICR at the end of the year. Moving on to the next slide, slide 16, other reportable matters. In November 2017, Mark Corben, our Chief Financial Officer, announced that he will step down in 2018. In March 2018, Jaroslava Korpanec resigned as an Alliance Director of the following companies of the Holdco Group: Bassajet Holdings, Bassajet Tunnel Limited, and Bassajet Finance PLC.
Andrew Copps was appointed as Director of Bazalgette Tunnel Limited and Bazalgette Finance PLC, and Scott McGregor was appointed as Director of Bazalgette Holdings Limited. Additionally, Joseph Phillips replaced Michael Ryan as a Director of Bazalgette Holdings Limited with effect from 19th February 2018. Since the publication of the investor report, there has been a further announcement, namely the appointment of Mike Putman as a new independent non-executive director, which was made actually this morning. There have not been any acquisitions or disposals in the period. And in terms of our current hedging position, the current swap portfolio can be found on slide 20 in the appendix. And the only transaction that we entered into during the period was the hedging transaction of $70 million related to the USPP. Moving on to next slide, slide 17, we confirm that no default or trigger event has occurred and is continuing, that the borrower is in compliance with the hedging policy, that the statements set out in this investor report are accurate in all material respects, and that the insurances are being maintained in accordance with the CTA. Stefan takes us to the end of the of this presentation. Huge.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue. And then after I announce you, just ask that question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. So once again, if anyone has any questions, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now? And there'll be a brief pause while the questions are being registered. Once again, if anyone has any questions, please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now. Right, Mark and Adolfo, as there seem to be no questions at this stage, could I please pass the call back to you for any closing comments?
Well, thanks again, everybody. There's no questions, that we've fulfilled your interest. But if there are, then obviously don't hesitate to get in touch with us. If not, we'll speak to you again in 6 months.
Yep.
This now concludes today's call. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.